It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
In this series, we are exploring the eyewitness account of John as recorded in his gospel to discover the answer to two crucial questions. First, who is Jesus? Second, what difference does it make? Let me begin by asking another question. What am I thinking at this moment? That's a question I often ask audiences when I speak on this topic. Only once did someone make a bold suggestion, and it was wrong. We just don't know what another person is really thinking. A person's thoughts are invisible and unknowable to others. The way we make our thoughts known to others is by choosing to speak or write them. What we do is wrap our invisible and unknowable thoughts in words, and when people hear or read those words, they unwrap them to grasp what the thoughts are that had been unknown and invisible to them. This is a simple thought that may help us understand who Jesus is. After all, John writes to us about the Word. Before we get too far ahead of ourselves, let's hear the opening words of John's Gospel. John 1, 1-18 is often referred to as the prologue, which many scholars call the key to John's Gospel. In this opening prologue, we are introduced to many themes and concepts that will be expanded throughout this Gospel account. The prologue provides us with at least five intriguing answers to our question, who is Jesus? Here's what we read in the first three verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. The first and last of these statements tell us that the Word is Creator, the Maker of all things. The first statement is, in the beginning was the Word. John has chosen his words carefully to echo the opening statement of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. Genesis 1:1. Go back to that beginning. John tells us that the Word already was. The last of these statements is, through Him all things were made. Then to confirm this, he supports it with a negative. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. Not only was the Word already present in the beginning, not only were all things made by the Word, but without the Word, nothing was made that has been made, leading us to the necessary conclusion that since He made all things, He Himself was not made. This Word is the pre-existing Creator. Second, the Word is the self-disclosure of God to all humanity. In the middle of these opening statements, John writes, "The Word was God." He carefully wrote the Greek words, and the only way in which those words can be translated competently and honestly is this way, quote, "and the Word was God," end quote. God was making Himself visible and knowable. He was, as it were, wrapping Himself in the Word so we can hear and see Him, the invisible and unknowable God. And the Word was God. Third, John continues in verse 4, "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men, the light of all humanity." In Him was life. Life resides in the Word. As such, He is the source of all life. We'll come back to this when we consider the question, what difference does it make? Fourth, in the Word we see the glory of God. Verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The message tries to capture this concept with these words. The Word became flesh and blood, and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son. Glory is one of those words we often use without really knowing what it means. Glory is the outward manifestation of inherent worth. For instance, on one occasion, Jesus was transfigured before Peter, John, and James, and His face shone like the sun, and His garments became as white as light. This shining, this outward manifestation of light, is who Jesus is inherently. Who He inwardly is, was being allowed to break out into the brightness like the sun. In the Word we have seen the inherent worth, the glory, of the one and only who came from the Father. Although we have been told that the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood, the Word still has not been given a name until we approach the end of this prologue. Here's what we read as we read John 1:15-18. John, that is John the Baptist, testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. And this is our fifth observation. The Word has come to us and is Jesus Christ." Here are our five observations. 1. The Word is the pre-existent Creator. He made all things. 2. The Word is God. 3. The Word is the source of life. 4. In this Word we see the glory of God. 5. The Word, who is the invisible and unknowable God, wrapped himself in humanity, and his name is Jesus Christ. What difference does it make? In answering that question, listen to John 1:10-12. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. First, Jesus is no mere regional deity, no God of a particular people group or a place on the map. Jesus is the ultimate self-disclosure of the one true living God who is creator of all. The word God can mean almost anything in our culture. It is one of those plastic words that is used to describe anything and nothing. Eugene Peterson says it well when he writes about the vagueness and meaninglessness of our God language. The name and person of Jesus, quote, "gathers all the diffused vagueness into a tight, clear, light-filled focus," end quote. So, to oppose Jesus Christ is to oppose the one true God, creator and Lord of everything and everyone. Second, the invisible, unknown God has made himself visible and knowable. His ultimate act of self-disclosure is this: the Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. In other words, he wrapped himself in humanity and lived among us. He became seeable, hearable, touchable, knowable. He lived among us as Jesus Christ. Not to recognize Jesus Christ is not to recognize the one true God. Not to receive Jesus Christ is not to receive the one true God. The other side of that wonderful truth is this: to recognize and receive Jesus Christ is to recognize and receive the one true God, to become a child of God, receiving the extravagant gift of the life of God and entering into relationship with that God, together with all the benefits. Who is Jesus? John, the eyewitness and intimate follower, declares this: God became a human and lived among us, and his name is Jesus.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.